Let me give you a warm welcome to the service this morning. It is good to be able to be with you to bring God's precious and infallible truth. If you know and love the Lord, I pray the Lord will bless your heart and you'll read along with us. If you do not know Christ, I pray the Lord will speak to your heart in these services today as we come to bring God's precious and infallible truth. We are going to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. Matthew 14, but before we read the verses from verse 22 to 33, we're going to come before the Lord in prayer. Let's just seek God. Let's come before a holy and righteous God and pray. Pray with us. Pray we know the help of God in all things. Our gracious God and loving and eternal Heavenly Father, as we come afresh into thy presence this day, we thank thee for enabling us to come aside this morning to preach thy precious and infallible truth. We thank thee, O God, that, O Lord, that the people as they listen in, they can be encouraged through thy word. They can be instructed in thy word. Lord, sometimes we can be chastised in thy word. O Lord, we pray that thou would give a word in season to all that hear thy word, whether they are born-again believers in Christ or whether they're backslidden state, or whether they're outside of Christ. Lord, only thou knowest their hearts. And we pray, O God, that thou wilt touch, thou wilt be with them, and thou wilt strengthen. Lord, we look to thee, O God, that thou art the creator of all things. O Lord, you spoke all things into existence. O Lord, we pray, O God, that many people in this land will look around about them and see the beauty of God's creation. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt speak to hearts. Lord, many, O Lord, are against thee at this time. We pray, O God, that you'll draw people. O Lord, we can cry unto thee, Lord, even though the world is against us, as the Bible tells us, O Lord, in Romans 8 and verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And Lord, I thank thee that God is for us. And Lord, I pray that you'll help this preacher as he brings thy precious word. Lord, guide and guard us. Undertake for everything we say or do. Lord, we know, O Lord, that we get through wilderness experiences. O Lord, but I pray, as our old song says, the Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All we have to do is follow. Lord, give us strength in these days. Keep us safe. Keep each one of us, O Lord, in good health and strength. Draw by to us. O Lord, lead and guide. Do guard our every footsteps. Lord, we pray that thou'll be with us all the way. Lord, we pray for our hospitals. We pray for our doctors. We pray for the physicians. We pray, oh God, for, oh Lord, for the staff around about the hospitals. For those, Lord, those in the chemists as well, the pharmacies. We leave all those people before thee. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll give them help in these times. Oh Lord, as they treat people in hospital, as they treat people at home, as they treat people in nursing homes. Oh Lord, we pray that you'll be with them and give them strength. And Lord, even for, oh Lord, ourselves, we preach thy word. Keep us all healthy. Keep us in strength. Keep the people of God, oh Lord, looking unto thee. Oh Lord, when we look around about us in this old world, oh Lord, nobody knows what to do or say. But Lord, we thank thee that God makes a difference. And Lord, I pray that there be a work done in hearts, even use us this day. Lord, be with us and encourage us. Help us and do us good. And bless even the congregation of people and listen here today. And we pray that you'll be with each one. Strengthen the people here in grace. And Lord, do undertake for them now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We are going to read those words of Matthew chapter number 14. And the verse is number 22 through to the verse 33. Let's read God's word together. I invite you to read along with us. And straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Amen. And the Lord will bless the public reading of his precious and fallible truth. Let's just pray. Father in heaven, to bless thy word to our hearts this day, undertake for us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The Savior has just fed the 5,000 men, not including women and children as well. The crowds had filled that area, and the people sat listening to Jesus. He had compassion upon them, and they hungered. Christ met the need of everyone, and afterwards the disciples gathered 12 baskets full. Now Jesus says to the disciples to go into the ship, that they would go before him, that they should go to the other side. You'll see that in the verse number 22, and to go before him unto the other side. And while the multitudes were encouraged, the disciples were told, "You need to go to the other side. You go to the other side and I'll meet you there. If not along the way, we'll meet there." And the disciples understand that command. And in verse 24, 23 and 24, they begin to get into the ship. Now they're in the midst of the water. They are without him for the first time in this short period of time. And they seek to go to the other side. But in the meantime, Jesus sends those multitudes away, verse 23, and he leaves them off a crowd. And the Bible says that he goes to the mountain. And as he goes to that mountain, he goes to pray. And when it comes to the evening, he's been speaking to God, and he's alone. What next? He goes to the disciples. The Bible says in verse 25, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea." He went to the disciples. I want to speak this morning on the disciples' need of Jesus. The disciples' need of Jesus. And surely it can be said of ourselves that we too need the Lord. The disciples need of Jesus. Firstly, we'll look at in the verse number 24. The disciples need of Christ because they were off course. The disciples need of Christ because they were off course. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary, or the wind was blowing them in this way. The disciples were told by Jesus to go to the other side. They're not told to do something they're not capable of. They're told to go to the other side. For Christ knows that these men are capable of getting across to the other side. Most or some of these men were fishermen, and they would have been able to make their way across. Yet the Bible tells us that when they were on their journey, the winds raged, waves came up, ships, as it were, tossed to and fro. When they were on their journey, they're going nowhere. And it seems like they're going round in circles. And they've come, as it were, to the midst of that sea. And they're making no progress. Maybe. Or even unsure exactly where they are. That sea is only about 8 miles in breadth. And yet these men cannot cope with the situation they're under. And to be honest, these men were in a time of great need, because they needed Christ. They were missing Christ on that ship. And they were coming to a time where there was a great storm in their life. But one thing was missing. Christ was not in the midst. He's been with them so often these past few years. But now their time on this ship, and it's a little bit different. Because he's constrained them to go over. But remember, they've just come out of a time of blessing. Now the storms of life have begun to overwhelm them. And they know that they're at a point where they need the Saviour with them. And they have now got their minds caught up with the things that's happening around about them. The seas distress them. The wind has distressed them. The actions of the boat, the rocking to and fro, that has distressed them. Their lack of progress has distressed them. And they're going nowhere fast. And believer, I'm sure that there has been times in your life that you have felt just like that. That you're going nowhere. You're in distress. Everything seems to be pouring on us. And so often it is that we go a step forward and so many back. And yet these disciples should be all the way across. They're in the midst of the river, of the sea. And I think of our own lives. And I think of the disciples' lives. Because this was allowed to happen to them. They had to go through that storm in their life to help them to know who they would rely on. So do we. The Bible tells us that Jesus goes to pray. Maybe the disciples have it in their mind, what now? And I want you to picture the scene that's before them. The waves have begun to endanger these men, endanger the ship. The Bible says in verse 23, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain apart to pray. And the evening was alone, but now he was up there alone, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. It was against him. And they're alone. And in the midst of the storm that they are in, they feel alone. And as they fight against the wind, they fight against the sea, I'm sure they got tired. That happens to you and I as well. Each one will go through circumstances and storms in our lives that will not only distress us, they'll make us tired. But I want you this morning to be like these disciples, that when they were overwhelmed, they looked for the Saviour. When they're overwhelmed, they looked for the Saviour, but they're off course. Not only are they off course, but they're in a great time of need. And this morning, remember, when you're at the point where you cannot go on, you can rely on Christ. For our Saviour gives us strength in times of need. And when you're going through the storms of life, where you're being overwhelmed, just look to the Lord and he will guide you through. Because no matter the storm, no matter how of course you think you've gotten down or gotten against you, the Saviour will come and help us to bring us through. And you see that in verse 25. The disciples, they're overwhelmed. It says in They could see someone coming towards them. Verse 25. The fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea, and the disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they were troubled, seeing it what is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. I know they cried out for fear, but I think this is a wonderful part. Christ's been praying. And then he comes their way. See, Christ knows their every step. He knows how to comfort them and knows how to comfort us and knows how to meet them and meet us at the point of our need. And for the disciples needed Jesus to step into their situation. How could he help them? And maybe they maybe even thought whenever they left off, how is Jesus going to get to the other side? Where he sent us in verse 22, which tells us his three disciples to get to the other side and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. He says, before me, go before, I'm going to come after. Although the disciples were off course, Jesus still comes our way. We read those verses 24, 25, 26. You see, all things are possible with God. But I want you to notice the disciples further. The disciples that needed Jesus because there was fear in their hearts. Verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. They knew they were to go before. They knew Christ was coming. But I'm sure they never expected Christ to walk on water right before them. Maybe they never thought that he would be able to find them. They've been on the ship for almost 9 hours now. They have been set off course. But now they look to the one who can help them. And the Bible says that they're afraid. Not only are they afraid, but they're troubled. In verse 26. And they cried out with fear. Now remember, these were men, hardy men. Men who had faced many storms of life before and many storms in the sea. But the word troubled in this original text means that they were terrified. And they're facing a time of being alone. They're missing the presence of the Savior. And they gaze across that water and they're feared and they're afraid and they cry out of fear. I want you to think of these men. They needed God to intervene in their circumstances. And as they stand and as they gaze ahead, they're overwhelmed. But their eyes are fixed and they're captivated on what's before them. And as they look, I want you to think of it this way. Christ captured their attention. Their attention was captured, although they knew not it was him. Again, these men are like you and I, in such need. Maybe it is that sometimes you feel that you need to just cry out. And it's in that time where you really come to the realization that you need him most. See, when you've been allowed to face the storms of life, to go towards the other side, you rely on him to go with you, don't you? And as them men looked, they gazed and feared. The Bible says when they needed him most, Christ knows about our fears. Christ knows about our troubles. Christ knows exactly what you need this morning. And he says, whenever Christ saw that they were... Christ understands. Look at verse 27. But straightway, or at once, Whenever he heard them cry out for fear, it says Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Immediately having heard their distress, there's a comforter. They know who it is, they don't need to question. Then you say, but didn't Peter call out? Yes. But look at the first words he says. He says, verse 28, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, Lord. He recognizes him, and in that moment, every one of the disciples knew exactly what they needed. They needed Christ's presence with them. Moving on, the disciples needed Jesus, which gave them a fervent desire to go to meet him. Look at verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid or command me to come unto thee on the water. And here, before anyone else begins to speak, Peter wants to go to Jesus. He's already noticed the difference when Jesus is not with them. They cannot go on any longer. And personally, like the other disciples, he wants to get to Jesus. I'm child of God this morning. I'm sure every one of us are the same. We need Jesus with us all every step of the way. We need his help. It burns in his heart. And if this is a Savior, he's capable of commanding me to walk on water, letting me come to him. But Peter wasn't just interested in going to walk on the water. He wanted to go to the Savior. But one thing here, he said, bid me or command me to come. He wasn't going to go. There was a condition that Christ must command him to go. For he recognized that God is Lord over all things. And knowing that Christ commands the winds and commands the sea. Remember when he said those words, what manner of man is this? Even the winds and the sea obey him. Well, here we find these men. Peter says, bid me come. He didn't call Christ to come to the boat, the ship, but he asks to be commanded to come. And he realizes his need when Christ says those wonderful words, verse 29, and he said, come. Come. And that brought confidence. Come, and in that moment of time, Peter never expected failure. And he steps into the water knowing exactly who Jesus is, the Son of God. And child of God, this morning, we know who Jesus is. So let each and every one of us, when the storms of life are boisterous against us, around about us, go with confidence. For Christ bids us to come to walk with the Savior and to not walk in fear. And he walks only when Christ bids him and commands him to come. Again, with God all things are possible. And it tells us in verse 29 that he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He begins to walk on the water. Why? To get to Jesus. Fourthly, the disciples needed Jesus. Even though they had a fixation of the wind and the sea around about them. Verse 30. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, Lord, save me. So often it is the thought, and this is upon all, each and every one of our lives. When things seem to be working out for us, when everything seems to be going okay, then we begin to look around and those things begin to scare us. What other people do what other people say, when those who are against the things of God take another turn and become more fierce towards the things of God, we begin to look at them instead of looking to God and keep our eyes upon Christ. And then it is when we get our eyes, of course, we begin to sink. The reality for Peter was if he kept his eyes on Christ, he would have went out to him and probably they would have walked back to the ship together. But he began to look around about him. Fear comes in once more. And his eyes for once are not fixated on the Savior, but they're fixated on the things that are round about him. And it causes fear. And in that moment he started to look elsewhere. He begins to fall. He begins to sink. It reminds us, child of God, to keep looking to Jesus. And he sinks. And in that moment he sinks, he calls out to the one he knows who can lift him up. The one he knows that is always there, promising that he'll never leave us, nor he will ever forsake us. And once Peter begins to cry, the Bible tells us that immediately, look at verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. And he stretched forth his hand immediately and saves him. And we find that Christ then speaks to Peter. And when he saves Peter, when he helps Peter, when he's there meeting him at the point of his need, he says, Peter, verse 31, wherefore didst thou doubt? And he calls on Peter to have faith in God's abilities, knowing that God will be with him all the time, on all the way. And Peter had no reason to doubt. But you did. Having faced the storm, Peter, you doubted. He says, Peter, O thou of little faith. Peter, you just need to look. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. And when Jesus was in the midst, that made a difference. And having faced the storm, whenever Christ and Peter, they come into that ship, the Bible says, when they were come into the ship, verse 32, the wind ceased or the wind stopped. You see, Christ brings the peace in the midst of the storm. And after the storm, they begin to worship God. And child of God, this morning, I want you to be encouraged because Jesus knows all about your struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. So no matter the storms of life that you're going through today, I would encourage you just to fix your eyes on the Savior as he bids you come. Walk with me. And let him guide your steps, every step of the way. And let him take you to that ship, where you will find that rest. You'll find that storm will cease. The winds will be no more. We need to worship him. Because you know who Jesus is. Look at the disciples, they said very finally, quickly. They said in verse 33, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Child of God, we know he's the Son of God. So whatever's against you, whatever's coming your way, whatever you're coming out of, wherever you're going into, just look to the Lord. And I trust this morning that you'll be encouraged, knowing that the Lord promises not to leave us, just we're to walk with him every step of the way. So I pray you're encouraged. And I pray the Lord will bless your walk. you'll ever follow Christ every step, every moment, and every day. We thank you for spending time around God's Word. It has been a joy to bring God's precious and fallible truth to you today. Pray the Lord so bless. Pray the Lord to help even in the evening service. Pray that many will come to know Christ. He is your Savior and your friend, and here's life eternal. Let's just seek the Lord with a word of prayer. Gracious God, loving and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee again for drawing nigh, Lord, with us this day. Close us in with thee, and we thank thee for the message here as the disciples were going through different times of discouragement. Yet the Lord came by. Lord, how did they testify to him truly being the Son of God? Lord, we can testify of that today. What a change Christ has made in our lives. We can say since Jesus came into our lives. Oh Lord, bless us, I pray. Part us with thy blessing. We thank thee for this time we've spent around thy word. Close us in with thee, not just today, but in the days and months that lie ahead. Encourage us, instruct us, and be our strength. We may take Peter and fall. Lord, we thank thee, we know that you're right by our side. Lord, undertake for all the people, Lord, listen to them. Bless their family service too. Speak to their hearts. Draw people in the saving faith, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.